freedom. It's a massive word, isn't it? We throw it around all the time. Mm-hmm. But I want to start today by sort of challenging the standard definition.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we think of freedom as freedom from something.
Right. Freedom from a bad habit, freedom from the chains.
Exactly. Freedom from the mistake. But is that really enough?
Well, it's the necessary first step, for sure. Mm. But if you stop there, you just end up in a vacuum.
That's it. You're not drowning anymore, but you're not swimming either. You're just sort of bobbing. And that's the whole vibe we're getting into today.
Yeah.
We're jumping back into the RAFT to Freedom program. And specifically, we're zooming in on chapter 43.
Overview of the seven supports.
I mean, even the title tells you something's changed.
It implies a structural shift. Absolutely. We're not just reacting to disasters anymore. We're building something that can actually hold us up.
Right. And for anyone who's new to this, or if you just need a quick refresher, we're looking at the RAFT program,
which is this incredibly comprehensive workbook. It blends Buddhist wisdom, neuroscience, psychology,
all to guide people out of what it calls the storms of habit and toward, you know, real well-being.
And the whole framework is right there in the name, RAFT.
Pronounced just like the boat. Let's just break that down really quickly. R is for.
Recognize. Seeing the difficulty clearly.
A is for abandon. Letting go of harmful cravings.
F is for freedom, which is where we are today.
And T is for train, building that ethical body-mind connection.
But the context here is everything. The earlier chapters, the recognize and abandon stages, they focused on what the text calls the dangerous shore.
That sounds ominous.
It's meant to be. That's the place of emergency survival. You're dodging hazards, dealing with intense cravings, confusion.
So that stage, you're using a different set of tools, right? The five defenders.
Exactly. And they're like shields.
Yeah.
Or maybe bilge pumps on a boat.
Okay, so they're for when you're taking on water.
They're protective. They stop you from sinking. But here is the crucial insight of chapter 43, and it's a big one.
What's that?
You can't cross an ocean just by bailing water.
Right. Eventually, you have to actually sail.
And that is the transition. The RAFT program calls this new territory the land of perpetual dawn.
I love that. It's like the long dark night is over, but the sun isn't fully up yet. It's that moment of clarity, of potential.
It signifies we're moving from emergency damage control to sophisticated navigation, from just staying afloat to actually catching the wind.
So we're trading the five defenders for these seven supports. But why, though? Why a whole new toolkit? If the defenders kept us safe, why not just stick with them?
Because the defenders are based on resistance. They're about stopping something.
Okay.
The seven supports are about growing something. The text calls this the pivot of freedom. It's a shift from fighting what's unhelpful to cultivating what supports well-being.
So it's the difference between, like, constantly weeding a garden versus just watering the flowers.
That is a perfect analogy. And there's a specific mechanism for this in the RAFT program called appropriate attention.
Okay, that's Uniso Manasikara in Pali.
That's the one. It's a mouthful, but it just means wise reflection or steering the mind.
And how does that work in practice?
Well, think about heuroplasticity. You know, neurons that fire together, wire together. If you spend all your time fighting a craving, just staring at the problem, saying, I won't do this, I won't do this.
You're still reinforcing the neural pathway for the problem.
Precisely. You're feeding the monster even while you're wrestling it.
Wow.
Appropriate attention means you deliberately turn your focus toward the solution. The principle is simple. What you feed grows. What you starve withers.
So the seven supports are the nutrients.
They are. You're feeding your mind so it becomes self-sustaining. You're building an inner immune system.
I like that. An inner immune system. It sounds so much less exhausting than a constant battle.
It is. So shall we open up this advanced instrument panel?
Let's do it. There are seven tools. Where do we begin?
We start with the captain. The first support is liberating mindfulness.
Okay, mindfulness. That word is everywhere now, on cereal boxes and yoga mats. What are we talking about here? Is it just being in the moment?
It's more active than that. In this context, mindfulness is the monitor. It's the captain on the bridge of the ship.
Okay.
Its job is to scan the horizon and scan the internal state of the crew. It's checking the weather.
The internal weather.
Exactly. And chapter 43 offers a really practical diagnostic tool here. Your internal weather generally falls into one of two categories. The mind is either heavy or it is hot.
Heavy or hot. Okay, unpack those for me.
A heavy mind is dull, sluggish. It's checking out. The program calls it tuning out. In neuroscience, it's hypoarousal.
Ah, the Sunday afternoon doom scroll on the couch.
That's the one. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Then on the flip side, you have the hot mind. Anxious, restless, overdriven.
Hyperarousal.
Yeah.
The engine is redlining.
You got it.
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting, because I think this is where I usually go wrong. When I feel heavy, you know, unmotivated, a bit down, my instinct is to just try and chill out.
To relax.
Yeah. But the text suggests that's exactly the wrong move.
It's the wrong medicine. If your mind is already heavy and sluggish, trying to calm it further is just going to put you to sleep. You don't need calm. You need a spark.
So the captain mindfulness looks at the gauge, sees heavy, and says, we need power.
Correct. And when the mind is heavy, the captain calls on the power triad. Three specific supports to lift the energy.
Power triad. Okay, let's walk through it. What's first?
The first is penetrating inquiry.
That sounds really intense, like an interrogation.
It's a friendly interrogation. It's the chart work. It's not just, why do I feel this way, which can just lead you down a spiral.
Right.
It's asking, what is happening right now? It's about engaging curiosity.
So you're forcing the brain to wake up and analyze something.
Yes. Curiosity is inherently stimulating. You can't be truly curious and truly bored at the exact same time. It just turns the lights back on.
Okay, the lights are on. What's next in the power triad?
Enthusiasm or courageous energy.
Is this like a fake it till you make it kind of thing?
Not really. It's much more physical. Think of it as the wind in the sails. It's mobilization. It's sitting up straighter, taking a deep breath. It's the willingness to engage rather than collapse.
And the third one?
Energizing joy.
Okay, hold on. Joy feels like a result, not a tool. If I'm feeling heavy, I can't just decide to be joyful.
And this is a nuance the workbook captures really well. This isn't happiness or bliss. This is PT.
PT.
It's a physical sensation of uplift, the lift of a favorable current. It's not manic excitement.
Not a sugar rush.
Not at all. You access it by finding the smallest thing that's going okay. Like, hey, I'm actually noticing my breath right now, and letting that tiny success gladden the mind. It's a quiet gladness that sustains you.
Okay, so if I'm stuck on the couch feeling heavy, I get curious inquiry, I mobilize my body energy, and I find a little bit of gladness joy that revs the engine.
Precisely. You are balancing the sluggishness with stimulation.
That makes so much sense.
I mean,
let's flip it. The hot mind. I feel like this is the default state for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Anxious, spinning out.
Right. The hot mind is hyper aroused. You're in threat mode. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if you apply the power triad here? If you try to get more energetic?
Boom. An explosion.
You blow the gasket.
Yeah.
When the mind is hot, you need the ballast triad.
Ballast. I love that term. Keeps the ship from tipping over. What's in the ballast triad?
First, deep calm.
So this is the classic take a deep breath advice.
It is, but it's physiological. It's smoothing the waters, slowing the exhalation, relaxing your jaw. You are literally cooling the reactivity in your nervous system.
But my mind is usually still jumping all over the place, even if I'm breathing slowly.
And that's why the second component is a unified mind. Concentration. Think of this as the steady rudder.
How is that different from mindfulness?
Mindfulness is like a floodlight. It sees the whole scene. Concentration is a spotlight. It focuses on one thing.
Got it.
When you're anxious, your attention is scattered everywhere. Unified mind gathers it back to one point. The breath, the feeling of your feet on the floor, it stops the frantic flitting.
It tethers the boat, which brings us to the last one.
Balancing equanimity. And this is maybe the most misunderstood.
Yeah, equanimity sounds very philosophical. People hear it and they think it means indifference. Like, I don't care.
It is definitely not, I don't care. That's withdrawal. That's a heady state. Equanimity is fully present, but it's stable. The workbook calls it the keel of the boat.
The keel.
Yeah.
The heavy fin underneath that keeps it from tipping over.
Exactly. If you have huge sails and strong wind, but no keel, the boat just flips. Equanimity is the capacity to stay upright amidst the waves. It's saying, this is happening and I am steady.
So mindfulness is the captain yelling, whoa, we're running hot.
Uh-huh.
And then the true deploys calm, concentration, and equanimity to cool things down.
You absolutely got it. And what's amazing is the RFT program ties this directly to one of the oldest teachings, the Ajisutta, the fire discourse.
What does that say?
Gautama, the Buddha, warns about this specifically. He says, if the mind is a blazing fire, that's the hot mind, you don't throw dry grass on it.
Which would be energy and inquiry.
Exactly. You sprinkle dust and water, calm and equanimity. It's about applying the right medicine for the right condition.
And speaking of medicine, This maps so well onto modern science. We're basically talking about the window of tolerance, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. A core concept in trauma therapy. That optimal zone of arousal where we function best.
Not sleep, but not panicking.
Right. When we're in that window, our prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of our brain, is online. We can make choices.
And outside the window.
Too high is hyperarousal, the hot mind, fight or flight. Too low is hyperarousal, the heavy mind, shut down. Freeze.
So these seven supports are a toolkit to get us back into that window.
And to widen it over time. It's also very similar to what psychology calls flow states. That perfect balance where you're not bored and you're not overwhelmed.
This is so practical. So let's bring this right down to earth. For the listener driving to work right now, how do they actually do this?
It comes down to a simple loop. Monitor, adjust, feed, starve.
Okay, walk me through it.
First, monitor. That's the captain. Just check in. Am I heavy or am I hot?
Am I sluggish or am I spinning out?
Got it.
Second, adjust. If you're heavy, use the power triad. If you're hot, use the ballast triad.
Makes sense. And feed starve.
This goes back to appropriate attention. When a good state arises, a moment of calm, a spark of curiosity, you feed it.
How do you feed a feeling?
You marinate in it. You let your attention rest on it. Savor it. That strengthens the neural pathway. You're teaching your brain, this is good, this is safe.
And starve.
When those unhelpful loops arise, cravings, resentment, you starve them.
Yeah.
You don't fight them. You just withdraw the fuel.
The fuel being your attention.
Exactly. You just take your attention away, place it back on your breath. Without that fuel, those weeds wither on their own.
It sounds so much gentler than battling your demons.
It is. It's navigating, not fighting. You're changing the climate of your mind so they can't survive there.
There's one more layer to this chapter that I found really beautiful. It's the cascade of awakening.
Because these supports aren't just separate tools in a box, are they? They actually flow into each other.
They do. It's a natural sequence that happens when those old patterns start to loosen their grip.
Walk us through that chain.
It starts with mindfulness. You see clearly. And because you see clearly, you get interested. That's inquiry.
Yeah.
That investigation sparks an energy enthusiasm. When that energy flows smoothly, it naturally lifts into joy.
And from there?
When the mind is joyful, the body naturally settles. That brings deep calm. A calm system is stable, which leads to a unified mind. And from that stability...
get equanimity.
Yeah.
Like perfect balance.
Right.
So it's not just a set of instructions. It's a description of how freedom actually feels from the inside.
Exactly. It's a mind organizing itself around clarity and ease, not craving and confusion.
That's a powerful idea.
Yeah.
That we have this internal raft we can build and steer ourselves.
And importantly, the RAFT program emphasizes that we don't need to stay on that dangerous shore just because it feels familiar.
Right. We stick with harmful habits because they're what we know. They're a strange kind of refuge.
But once you start building these seven supports, you carry your own refuge with you. You don't need old habits to soothe you when you have deep calm. You don't need drama to feel alive when you have energizing joy.
You become self-sustaining.
You become free.
This has been an amazing deep dive, and it's all based on the RAFT to Freedom workbook. We have to give a huge shout out to the authors, Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen.
They're doing something really incredible. They are making this entire 66-chapter program available online for free. It's not behind a paywall.
You can find all of it at raft2freedom.org. That's raft, the number 2, freedom.org. If you're looking to navigate your own journey, definitely check it out.
And before we sign off, I just want to leave our listeners with a little self-reflection for the week.
Go for it.
We talked about the heavy and the hot mind. So the challenge is just to notice. When you're under pressure, which way do you tend to drift? Do you shut down and get heavy? Or do you spin out and get hot? And crucially, which of the seven supports feels most accessible to you right now to help bring you back to balance?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's usually the hot mind.
Yeah.
I need that deep calm.
And just recognizing that, that's the first step of navigation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for guiding us through the land of perpetual dawn today.
It was a pleasure. I'll end with a quote from Gautama, which really captures the hope in this chapter.
Please.
Just as the dawn is the forerunner and precursor of the rising of the sun, so too good friendship is the forerunner and precursor of the arising of the seven factors of awakening.
Beautiful. Thanks for listening, everyone. Safe sailing.